Again, and welcome to all the members present, officials from the national and provincial government departments, other guests in attendance, as well as those that will be giving input, as well as guests following on YouTube. The YouTube link will be available at a later stage as well, so that the memory will always be there. Thank you again, members, for allowing us to meet this morning and for setting aside time during your constituency period. I have received apologies from Member Barnes, who will be leaving us at 11 today, and she will be replaced by Member Kama, but also an apology from Member Lorraine Botha. Again, to the officials from the national and provincial government, thank you for being here, as well as the guests. We're looking forward to having a conductive meeting, a public virtual hearing, because we understand under the circumstances, it is still vital for us to communicate on bills before our committee in the provincial parliament. Just for the record and to indicate the rules of our engagement for today, all members and guests are to be muted at the beginning of the meeting. This is to avoid any background noises. Also, if you need to flag my attention, please use the raise your hand function, and I will then note you in order for you to give input or a question. But please lower your hand once your question or comment has been made. I would encourage that all videos and audio to be switched off to improve the quality of the connection. However, if a member or an official or a guest or someone providing input is speaking, they may turn on their video and their mic. Participants must then switch off their mic once they have finished speaking. In terms of the standing rules, once there is a matter that is before the committee and I need to make a ruling, we will then refer to section 10 of the rules. The standing rule must apply as far as possible that it is reasonably and practically possible. And in instances where they cannot be applied, the ruling by the chairperson will then be final. Members and officials and guests, our order of the meeting for today will be to discuss and to get a public hearing on the customary initiation bill, as well as the recognition of customary marriages amendment bill. We have received an apology from the permanent delegate in the NCOP, Member Isaac Seleko, but we have advertised in print news, as per a resolution that was taken by this committee, we have done extensive outreach and correspondence to various stakeholders within the sectors in the Western Cape in order to get appropriate comment. We have advertised via the WCPP social media platforms, the website, through media alerts. The advertisements was also sent to all the stakeholders. As members would recall, for example, if it went to a certain municipality, we then requested it must be filtered down to sub-council level as well as ward committee level in order for us to have meaningful public participation. Members, seeing that we are dealing with two bills, we will commence with the customary initiation bill and thereafter with the recognition of customary marriages amendment bill. I am delighted that we have the national department here as well that dealt with the customary initiation bill and members will recall that we have received a briefing from the Department of Traditional Affairs on the 15th of July. The presentation was also emailed to all the members. We also have the department here today for any questions of clarity. If there's anything that any member requires regarding clarity or in terms of any guest that is on the platform, the department will be here with us, and we will be dealing with the customary initiation bill between now and 10:15. I'm just checking the attendance guests that we have on the platform, but let me first put the record members, allow members of the committee to introduce themselves for the record. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, everybody. My name is Ayanda Burns. Thank you.
Good morning, Chairperson and everyone. My name is Rachel Winvoorgang.
Good morning, Chair, members and everyone. My name is Ms. Lekama.
Good morning, Chairperson, and good morning, colleagues. My name is Gillian Bosman.
Good morning, Chairperson. The name is Melika Akra.
Thank you so much, members, for your attendance. And again, it is highly appreciated that you have taken out time during your busy constituency period. Like I said, the Department of Traditional Affairs all year, we also extend our sincere best wishes to Dr. Bester, who fell ill and is unable to be with us today. Dr. Bester briefed us during July, but we have Mr. Sithole and other officials here with us. But for Dr. Bester, we wish him a speedy recovery during this time. Members, we have the Western Cape government that is providing input, as well as Chief Nokwaza. Can I check if there's anyone else on the platform that is wanting to make an oral submission? A number of members of the public have reached out to our procedural officer, who has done amazing work in order to set today up, but also to ensure that we have meaningful public participation. I have noted that in the MS Teams folder, as we are receiving input via written submission, it has been added in. Mr. Wasim Matthews, I see you, sir.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning, members and all guests. Chairperson, I just want to also remind that the deadline for the written submissions is until the 28th. So that there has been quite a few emails to and fro, people asking how to connect to the meeting today, but they might not necessarily join, but still submit their written comments, because the extension for the written comments goes beyond today's hearing until the 28th of September. So I just wanted to note that, just in case, Chairperson.
Thank you so much for your dedication. We appreciate it, Mr. Matthews. Like I stated on, we have the department here for any questions of clarity. I will now hand over firstly directly to the Western Cape government for an overview in terms of their written submission. We have Ms. Williams. We also have Ms. Moluleki and Mr. Clement Williams from DCAS here. Thereafter, we will go over to Chief Nokwaza for his oral submission. To the Western Cape government, thank you for your attendance here today. I'll now give over directly to you.
Good morning, Chairperson and honourable members. Can you hear me?
All clear, Ms. Williams. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I have a PowerPoint presentation. I'm just waiting for it to load quickly. So, Chairperson and honourable members of the Standing Committee, thank you very much for providing me with the opportunity to provide you with a brief overview of the Western Cape Government's comments on the Customary Initiation Bill. Okay, it seems as though I've got a little bit of a problem with my presentation. I just want to try again. I apologise for that. Okay, and can you see my presentation, Chairperson?
Thank you so much. Yes, I can see it. Thank you.
Okay. My name is Clara Williams, and I'm a state law advisor in the Legislation Directorate Legal Services Department of the Premier. I was responsible for collating the Western Cape government's comments, which were submitted to the Standing Committee by the Department of Cultural Affairs and Sport. I will only touch on the 11 most important concerns we have with the bill, but we welcome any questions the Standing Committee might have. Ms. Jane Moleleke and Mr. Clement Williams from the Department of Cultural Affairs and Sport are also in this meeting to assist in this regard. Our first concern relates to the 2015 policy on the customary practice of initiation in South Africa and our view that not all the challenges identified in the policy have been addressed in the bill. Amongst others, the problem statement in the policy refers to the fact that surgical instruments should only be used once, and that the remoteness and inaccessibility of initiation schools are obstacles in the case of emergency. Regarding the use of instruments, the bill only refers to the general regulations regarding children. This is insufficient, as the regulations apply only to children, but some initiates are adults. In addition, most role players would probably not be able to access said regulations. We propose that the bill should include the requirements as set out in the general regulations regarding children in its substantive provisions. It should also indicate that the sites used for initiation schools should be accessible for emergency services. The policy also states that the PICC or principal of an initiation school should be able to refuse to allow a prospective child initiate to undergo initiation if it is of the view that the child is not yet ready for initiation or is unable or unwilling to consent to undergoing initiation. This may be related to the physical or mental capacity of the child. The issues relating to initiates with disabilities are not sufficiently covered by the bill. Provision should be made that initiates who are mentally handicapped and cannot legally give consent to attend an initiation school cannot consent for purposes of the bill, and that the principal may not allow such a child access to the initiation school. Second, the bill contains numerous references to the Traditional Leadership and Governance Framework Act of 2003, which has been repealed by the Traditional and Khoisan Leadership Act of 2019. We are aware that the last mentioned act has not yet commenced, but believe that its commencement is imminent. During the briefing by the National Department of Traditional Affairs, reference was made of amendments that will be made in this regard, but such proposed amendments have not been provided to us. It is unclear whether such amendments will also take into account the recognition of Khoisan leaders and communities, and whether the Khoisan will play any role in initiation. It is important to note that some Khoisan communities in the Western Cape attend traditional customary initiation schools. However, it should be stated in the bill that the bill does not apply to Khoisan-specific cultural initiations, as such initiations differ substantially from customary initiations. Third, it is suggested that in the case of the Western Cape, where initiation has been practiced in the absence of provincial and local houses of traditional leaders, as well as in the absence of recognized traditional leaders, the initiation forums which have been established as relevant bodies to consult with be allowed to sit on the PICC. The Western Cape does not have recognized traditional leaders, and the tasks of traditional leaders must be executed by the initiation forums or local initiation structures that have already been established in the province. Our fourth concern relates to the National Health Act of 2003, of which Section 43 empowers the minister responsible for health, and that is now the national minister, to prescribe conditions under which the circumcision of a person as part of an initiation ceremony may be carried out. The National Environmental Health Norms and Standards for Premises and Acceptable Monitoring Standards for Environmental Health Practitioners sets out standards for initiation and circumcision schools. The DTA Minister should be aware that the Minister responsible for health also has powers to prescribe certain conditions relating to circumcision, and reference should be made in the bill to the National Environmental Health Norms and Standards for Premises and Acceptable Monitoring Standards for Environmental Health Practitioners. 5. The bill contains conflicting provisions relating to the age of initiates. Some clauses refer to children, some to 16 to 18 year olds, and some to persons who have completed their secondary education. It's therefore not clear whether initiates must be children or whether they can also be adults. In this regard, it's also vitally important that the bill should be aligned to the Children's Act in all respects where children are involved. This is not currently the case. We are also concerned about the lack of confidentiality provisions in the bill. During the briefing by the Department of Traditional Affairs to the Standing Committee, the department indicated that an HIV test will have to be conducted for the medical certificate. This is not indicated in the bill. Questions arise relating to the confidentiality of the information in the certificate. May the parents or guardian see the certificate? And who at the initiation school may see the certificate? In instances where an initiate is tested for HIV and the result comes back as positive, the bill should indicate who will be privy to that information. With regard to children, Section 133 of the Children's Act, which deals with confidentiality of information on the HIV or AIDS status of children, should be complied with. In addition, the bill should indicate which tests must be conducted before a medical certificate will be issued. 7. We suggest that the bill should explicitly provide for better cooperation and collaboration between provinces. Initiates often move across provincial borders. If initiates do not undergo the mandatory pre-initiation medical screening process in the province that they are traveling from, they may not be admitted in an initiation school in another province. 8. The definition of genital mutilation is problematic. It seems as though not all the relevant harmful practices relating to genital mutilation are prohibited in the bill. The definition of genital mutilation is limited to the removal of the genitals or parts thereof, but does not include other injuries. During some initiation practices, girls are deflowered by older women using blunt tools. The World Health Organization also states that female genital mutilation includes injuries to the female genital organs for non-medical reasons, and the bill should also provide protection against such injuries. 9. The bill does not contain a definition of virginity testing. It also does not contain substantive provisions dealing with this matter. It is unclear who may be involved in such practices and what precautions must be taken. We suggest that substantive provisions that deal with virginity testing should be added to the bill. 10. We are concerned about the fact that the bill only refers to physical and mental abuse, but not the other kinds of abuse. We are of the view that other types of abuse should also be referred to, for example, sexual abuse. The same also applies to the grounds of discrimination set out in the Constitution, as the bill only refers to certain grounds of discrimination. Lastly, the bill lacks relevant time frames for the minister to act in. This makes it very difficult to hold the minister accountable if he or she does not comply with his or her responsibilities within a reasonable period of time. As stated earlier, my colleagues and I are available to assist if the Standing Committee has any questions regarding our comments. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Ms. Williams. As we indicated, Ms. Williams has with her Mr. Williams and Ms. Jane from the Western Cape Government as well. Members, I will request that you hold any questions that you may have, and we will first take the Chief in order to provide his oral submission as well, and then we will get open to questions of clarity from members. And I will also provide an opportunity for the Department of Cultural Affairs and Sport if they would want to provide any input or make any comment. I believe we have Mr. Guy Redman and other officials with us as well. I trust you find that in order, members. Ms. Williams, again, thank you so much for your presentation.
Thank you.
I will now hand over directly to Chief Nokwaza. Thank you so much, Chief, for availing yourself this morning and for reaching out to us following our call for submissions. It is highly appreciated. You may now turn on your camera if you wish for us to see you as you then make your oral submission pertaining to the customary initiation bill. Thank you so much, Chief. Over to you. Mr. Matthews, are you able to unmute the chief from your side? Chief Nokwaza, okay. Are you able to hear me?
Okay, fine. I'm unmuted. Sorry for that.
You may even put on your video if you wish to, sir.
Okay.
Once again, I'm not sure if you heard me earlier, but thank you so much for availing yourself and for providing oral submission to us as a committee today on the customary initiation bill. Over to you, Chief.
Okay. Morning, Chairperson, and honorable members of your committee, also officials and members of the public and the guests of your meeting and all people and who are participating. My presentation is actually is written. It will be the actual submission, the written submission, but we may edit it between now and Monday. Then the address or is noting as follows. We're saying that then having noted that section 11 of the customary initiation bill makes provision for establishment of provincial initiation coordinating committees that must consist of representation from the houses of traditional leaders and taking into cognizance that in the Western Cape, the Nguni traditional leadership is not covered by legislation recognizing traditional leadership in South Africa, and there's no provincial house of traditional leaders. Then the traditional leadership of the people of Nguni origin in the Western Cape, then we propose that A, there should be an insertion in clause 3, which follows immediately after clause 11.3A. Recognizing representation of communities since that practice cultural / customer initiation in the Western Cape. The clause should read as follows. Open brackets. Two members appointed by the Premier in consultation with traditional / cultural leadership of communities practicing cultural initiation. Close brackets. Say the two members must be persons we have undergone cultural initiation with unquestionable authority and clout to speak on behalf of the custodians of cultural initiation in the Western Cape. Point B, say furthermore, it is proposed that in tandem, in line with the national legislation, the Western Cape provincial government should enact cultural initiation legislation vesting authority to the Premier of the Western Cape to determine through consultation with traditional and cultural leadership of communities that practice customer initiation, how they will be represented in the Provincial Initiation Coordinating Committee or related structure agreed upon to serve the same purpose. That is the crux of our presentation. The presentation is actually informed by the fact that if the communities of the Western Cape who practice initiation don't directly participate in the provincial and the initiation coordinating structure, that will mean that they're actually excluded. And obviously, and then that will be against the principles and then of actually ensuring that there's inclusive participation of communities in whatever affects them. And then also we hold a view that throughout the country, we are leading, you see, and then I'm not trying to brag here, you see, and then we are leading, you see, and then in terms of ensuring that, you see, and then they are not that related to the actual initiation of initiates. then and then. And that is actually on record. Meaning that then, the experience we and expertise we have then and then will be actually lost or will be thrown down the drain if we don't participate then and then in the relevant structures then and then looking at safe initiation. And also, if there will be only representation from people from the National House of Traditional then and then Leaders, then we are not really opposed to that, but our view then and then is that those people, they won't really understand the dynamics of the province, and they don't also understand then and then how we have made it a point that then initiation is actually quite successful without any then and then traumatic experiences then leading to death in the province. And meaning that then, then and then, if at all that then, these communities, they don't participate, they are represented in the coordinating committees, in meaning that then we can actually lose all the gains we have actually made in as far as this matter is concerned within a very short space of time. Thank you, Chair. Chairperson?
Chief, thank you so much for your oral submission, and which will then be formulated and sent to our procedural officer in a written submission. It is appreciated that you have taken the time this morning. Members, in order for us to move forward, I will now firstly recognize the Department of Traditional Affairs for their response to the submissions that has been made so far, as some of our questions may be covered by the reply. Mr. Sithole, thank you so much for being with us today and your officials. And again, since meeting Dr. Bester the last time via this virtual platform, our thoughts are with him during this time. I now see Mr. Sithole and the Department of Traditional Affairs to respond to any input and to the input that has been provided. I would want us to have constructive dialogue. We still have with Williams and the team on here as well. Sithole, do I see you, sir? Do I see any member of the department, Mr. Van der Merwe, Ms. Ramsumbe, are you able to hear me? Ms. Ramsumbe or Mr. Van der Merwe? There I see Mr. Van der Merwe. Sir, I note your hand, sir.
Chairperson, good morning. I'm not sure if you can hear me. The connection seems to be breaking up a little bit. So I'm not sure whether you can hear me.
I can hear you now. Mr. Van der Merwe, thank you so much for you being here. I believe Ms. Ramsumbe also just logged in now. We have received a presentation from the Western Cape government as well as an oral submission from Chief Nokwaza. I trust that you heard the presentations. We will now allow you an opportunity to respond just before we allow members to ask further questions of clarity.
Thank you, Honorary Chairperson and Honorary Members. At this point, Honorary Chairperson, I don't think the department should respond to any of these questions, pending the processes that are in place remember, processes that should be followed excludes us at this point. We wouldn't want to be seen to be influencing the processes here, especially not the parliamentary processes. So I think this will be coming back to us when we need to redraft some of the suggested areas in the bill as soon as we get that negotiating mandate through the processes in order to do this. But certainly at this point, I don't think we should be commenting on any of the comments, but we would gladly receive them through the processes, and then we will add them as soon as we are instructed to do so, Chairperson.
Thank you so much, Mr. van der Merwe. Totally understand. Members, we have a road ahead in terms of our negotiating mandate, as well as our final mandate. But I will now open up to members firstly, if there's any questions for clarity that you have to Ms. Williams or any member of the Western Cape government, or to the Chief IC member, Malikaya. I note you, sir. Any other member? You may go, member. I will request that we remain, that we keep our videos off, just to ensure that the network is stable. Over to you.
Thanks, Chair. Yeah, no, mine is that if I hear the presentation by Ms. Williams around the issue of the challenge of non-recognition of traditional leaders in our province. Now, I need clarity in that regard, because as far as I understand and following the processes, the president did sign the recognition of the Khoisan people through the Western Cape the Traditional and Khoisan Leadership Act last year. So, and also to hear that there is no progress yet as far as to the issue of the House of Traditional Leaders in the province. Just to have clarity that is it the issue of COVID-19 that might have delayed the formation of that kind. And because it talks direct, because if we talk about cultural and traditional affairs in the province, that talks to the involvement of the recognized structures by government and as well as by communities. If we can be able to have clarity in that, then I hear that there is an issue around the recognition of the, as presided by Chief Gwaz, the recognition of the Nguni people in the province. Just to hear maybe from the department side that how is that aimed at being dealt with? Because it's a matter of reality that there are Nguni people of origin here in the Western Cape. So what would be the way forward as far as that is concerned? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you so much. Any other member? Any input, question of clarity based on the presentation by Ms. Williams or input from the Chief? I see Member Bosman.
Chair, thank you. I just wanted to ask if Ms. Williams can perhaps elaborate a little bit more on what provisions of the Children's Act needs to be brought over.
Thank you so much, Member Bosman. Is there any other member before we hand over to Ms. Williams? Any other member? Ms. Williams, I trust that you are still with us. I will now recognize you, ma'am.
Thank you very much, Chairperson and honorable members. Thank you for your questions. Firstly, with regard to the recognition of traditional leaders and Khoisan leaders in the province, the new act has not yet commenced. At the provincial level, we do not have anything to do with that whole process. The president needs to proclaim the commencement date of that act. And then there's a whole process in terms of that act that will be followed. There's a council that will be established that will do the recognition for the first, I think it's 5 years, and then thereafter recognition of traditional leaders and Khoisan leaders will be done by the Premier. So this is out of our hands at this point in time, and for some years after the Act then commences. So the Department of Local Government at provincial level will be dealing with that as well. They are not part of this meeting, unfortunately. I was not aware of the fact that we would be discussing that Act as well. So unfortunately, they are not part of this meeting to provide more clarity in that regard. So all I can say is that will be a whole process that will first be followed by national government and the council that will be established, and then thereafter it will become a provincial responsibility. And then with regards to the Children's Act and the alignment of this bill to the Children's Act, we have elaborated on that in our written comments. I can give a few examples. As I stated in my presentation, Section 133 of the Children's Act specifically deals with the confidentiality relating to the HIV and AIDS status of children. And this is something that needs to be also, that bill needs to be aligned to those, to that section in the Act to make sure that there is confidentiality if a child initiate tests positive for HIV or AIDS. I'm just going through my comments quickly to see what else I, which other sections I refer to. If you can just give me a moment, please. Okay, so the Children's Act also obliges anybody to report if there's been any abuse of a child. And the bill isn't really clear about that. It has two clauses dealing with reporting, but one of those clauses specifically states that there must be evidence of abuse. It's not just that... that there is a possibility that a child has been abused, there must be evidence. So the onus is different from that in the Children's Act, where children are protected also if there are just allegations of abuse. Even if there's no evidence yet, that abuse must be reported. So there are a few other sections that we set out in our comments that were submitted as well, where the Children's Act gives better protection or more detailed protection to children. And we believe that the bill should be aligned to that as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, members. Our procedural officer in the MS Teams folder will be attaching or adding written submissions as and when they are received, so that we are able to then formulate a matrix in order to conclude our negotiating mandate, which is for the 30th of September. Members, any further questions? The Department of Traditional Affairs indicated earlier on that they will be observing. So any questions to the department, further input? If none, Member Bosman, your hand is up from earlier on, or is it a new hand?
No, Chairperson, is up from... let me lower it. Sorry.
Thank you so much. Allow me to now note Mr. Guy Redman or any person from DS. Is there any comment from your side?
No comment from our side. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you for being here, sir. Much appreciated. Members, I believe that we have then exhausted our questions based on the input from Ms. Williams representing the Western Cape government. The entire written submission has been added to the MS Teams folder as well, as have all other written submissions that we have received to date. Before we close off on this part of our meeting, may I request if there's any input from the WCPP legal unit. If not, we will conclude our business on the customary initiation bill. Mr. Wassim Matthews, it would be in order for us to then conclude this part of our meeting.
The committee can decide on its own way forward and conclude, and those guests who wish to exit the meeting may do so. And it's up to you whether you just want to jump straight into the next item, which is the recognition of Customary Marriage Amendment Bill. So it's entirely in the hands of the committee, because everything has been covered up till now. So you might proceed to the next stage of rather than...
Thank you so much, Mr. Wassim Matthews. Members, I believe I have your consensus in that regard, and we will continue. We are receiving further written submissions from members of the public, and as they are filtered to the committee, it will be added to the MS Teams folder in preparation for our negotiating mandate. I trust that in order that we will now continue and close off the oral submissions for this virtual public hearing on the customary Thank you so much to the department for your attendance, for your observation, Mr. van der Merwe, to Dr. Bester, and we trust that we will see each other again. Thank you for your availability to the for you also attending today. To the Chief, we appreciate your input, Chief Nokwaza, as well. Thank you so much. Members, we will go straight over the in terms of the overview by the department, which occurred on the 16th of July. The Department of Justice has indicated to our committee that due to short staff, they was not able to provide any overview at this hearing, even though we know that we have already been briefed on the, well, as the bill has been circulated to the public for comment. Furthermore, our permanent delegate extended an apology for today. I will now open the floor if there's any oral submissions related to the recognition of customary mass amendment law. I believe that there is no oral submissions on the recognition of customary marriage as well, but we have coming.
Thank you, Chair. I haven't received any requests for oral submissions. The written submissions, people have asked about whether or not they can attend the public hearing, as well as the deadline for the written submissions. So there's no one here to present or speak, but I cannot say whether or not people will be submitting written comments, but there has been a bit of interest that's been shown, but nothing received as yet, sir.
Are we able to take a 10-minute short break, and then we come back at 9:05, members that still log in terms of this bill? I believe that there has been occasions before where a public hearing has been set up and then no one pitches, but then written submissions are then received. But just for us to be sure that we have given extra time just in case someone logs in. Is that okay with everyone? Then in the next 9 minutes, we will then conclude our business for today. Is that okay with everyone?
No, that's
it.
Yes, sir.
5, we will then continue with our meeting. Thank you so much.
And depending on how many input we get, whether it's voice notes or written text, that will also be part of the overall submission that will be available to members. The full submissions as well as a matrix, just to make it a bit easier, I'll try to get that done. It's a bit of a short window between the deadline and the date of the negotiating mandate, but that is why I will update the folders in Teams as quickly as possible, so that members at least have access to the raw submissions that are sent to me in the absence of me being able to summarize it immediately. Thank you, Chairperson. That's all from my side.
Members, thank you so much. I trust that you find the input from Mr. Matthews in order for next week regarding the logistics. And as you would know, we then have our options for next week is to support, not support, and propose amendments in our negotiating mandate. I would encourage you to peruse and to consider all the written submissions that has been received so far, and as further submissions are then made for next week. Just before we conclude, is there any further comments from the WCPP legal advisors? If not, then like we indicated earlier on, the committee will meet next week via MS Teams, because we have a number of members that would not be on the oversight. I heard someone's voice.
No, Chairperson, my hand is up.
Oh, so sorry. I see you. I know you, Member Bosman.
Chair, I just wanted to ask whether we could empower you to perhaps send out a press statement today, just letting people know that they can make written comments still. With that number as well.
I love that idea. I'm in full support. Thank you so much. Mr. Matthews, between me and you, we will then discuss a statement in the capacity as chairperson for the committee in order for that to go out, in order to solicit further written submissions before the deadline. I'm in order with that. I trust other members will find that in order as well. Members, is there any further comments from you? Like was seen indicated, our negotiating mandate is for next week, Wednesday, the 30th of September. Member Kama, I note your hand.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, I was wondering if I don't know, you might perhaps maybe assist me in terms of how do we go about this, but I wanted us if we can get clarity. I'm following from the question that Member Clego asked about the recognition of traditional leaders, seeing that it has an effect, as I'm looking at it now, in terms of the how initiations will be coordinated moving forward. So if we can get clarity, I do understand the clarity that was given from Ms. Clara Williams in terms of a date not being given. But if we can also get a clarity, Chair, perhaps maybe from the, because she indicated that local government might be able to give such a clarity in terms of how far are we in terms of that process. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you so much, Member Kama. That is noted. I will, from my side, attempt to get further clarity. I do know within our negotiating mandate, we are able to then make those submissions and follow that process as well. But thank you so much. Members, I look forward to seeing you next week, either in person or via MS Teams, as we then conclude our negotiating mandate for the two respective bills before us. Once again, thank you for setting aside time during your constituency period, which I understand is also extremely busy. Member Bosman, Member Barnes, Member Winkwerkel, Member Malikaya, Member Kama, thank you so much for being here, as well as all our officials from IT, our Senior Procedural Officer, Mr. Bendaza, and Mr. Matthews. Your input is highly appreciated. In the absence of any further clarity seeking questions or input, I will now adjourn the meeting. Thank you so much for your attendance today.
Thank you,
Chair. Thank you. Bye-bye.